Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
BJ, I always love talking to our next guest, but it's a lot more fun when the Seahawks win, as they should have yesterday. But you know what? We still get to chat with our friend. From Mitch Unfiltered, it's Mitch Levy.
576 yards.
Woo!
That's not best. That's a make 'em up, right? That really didn't happen.
576 yards.
I can only imagine what episode 216 that you could get right now, that episode dropped at MitchUnfiltered.com. I can only imagine what that episode sounds like.
It does not sound good in certain parts. Let's just put it that way.
No, a single player didn't get over 300 yards, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great, Migsy. 576 yards. As BJ just alluded to, the third worst defensive performance in Seahawks team history.
Oh, breakfast.
There were some pretty bad teams before any of us arrived.
Yes.
In Seattle. There were some really, really bad defensive teams, and
maybe they were trying to celebrate, they said that they're going to bring back the 90s retro jerseys next year. So maybe they announced that yesterday. So they figured, let's play like we were in the 90s to get people excited for the 90s jerseys.
I don't know whether it's the 90s jerseys or what it was, or whether it was something that the Buccaneers did a couple of weeks ago in Germany that we blamed the field for and we threw out. We kind of decided to toss that game out and say it was a weird one. It was an aberration. It was a one-off. But, in a lot of ways, a very, very embarrassing effort by the Seahawks yesterday. I don't think there's any ways around it. You had 2 weeks to prepare. The Buccaneers had kind of exposed you a little bit in Germany. You had 2 weeks to rest, get healthy. They were very, very healthy yesterday to prepare for this and to allow. And it's, by the way, it's not just what the Raiders did to the Seahawks on the ground and defensively to the Seahawks defense. The offensive line for the Seahawks yesterday, the worst performance of the year by far. All of a sudden, those rookie tackles had a really, really difficult day. They couldn't get anything done in the ground game. They couldn't open up any holes for Kenneth Walker. They could not protect. You guys have to understand that the Raiders coming into that game yesterday were the worst pass rushing team in the NFL, 32 out of 32. They had 13 sacks. 13 sacks. And they were the 32nd out of 32 teams, pass rushing team. And yet yesterday, Geno was under siege from the moment he stepped on the field. That offensive line couldn't protect him, couldn't open up any holes in the ground game. So it was the fact that it went to overtime. The fact that the Seahawks actually had a chance to win in both regulation, had the ball with a minute and 54 to go, and then they had a chance to win in overtime with the ball at the 50-yard line in a game that they were as dominated as they were yesterday is almost a shocker.
Yeah,
that they only lost the game 40.
And really, the Raiders spotted a 7 to begin the game, and so it was – Yeah, I just have one question for both you and Steve.
Here we go.
Should I give you my breakfast order now, or do you want to wait? It's up to you guys. Whatever's more convenient for both of you, as I really feel really good about my bets.
My breakfast order stays the same no matter what, because one way or another, I'm getting a breakfast. Yes, I win no matter what.
Yeah, well, you
guys. I want everybody in the audience to understand that he's gloating this morning.
Yes.
He's gloating after a Seahawks loss.
It's sickening.
An embarrassing Seahawks loss 40-34, which is fine.
These were two wins. These were two teams I thought we should get W's on, Mitch. That's why I'm gloating. I thought Tampa Bay and the Raiders were going to be pretty much locked in wins. They have got a schedule now in these next six games where if they go 500, it'll be a miracle.
They're going 6-0.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, if they go 500 in the next six games, I think that is that's what you probably hope they can do.
I want to complete my thought, BJ, please.
Oh, you go right ahead. I know you're thinking about my breakfast audience, order, but go ahead.
Because I want your audience not to let you off the hook.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because you are gloating this morning that the Seahawks lost. Now, you might be right. Maybe they won't win another game, not only this year, but they'll never win another game in organization history in the future.
Yeah, it's very possible. After yesterday, I'm starting to think that way.
But you are gloating. And I want it to be noted for the record. He's happy this morning, audience, that the Seahawks lost 40-34.
Right.
So I don't want any BS if they turn around and they win next week. I don't want to see you smiling if they beat the Rams, if they get hot, if they go to the playoffs. I don't want to see you rooting. I don't want to see you in a jersey.
No, here's what I'm saying. I feel like you misunderstand. I am not happy the Hawks lost. I'm happy that you're about to lose. I think it's a completely personal thing. The only thing that could have been better is if the Miami Dolphins plane went missing in the Bermuda Triangle or something like that. That would have been the only thing even better than that. But I know that your Dolphins are doing well. So really, that would have been the best day if all of a sudden Miami said, we don't know what happened to the players. They disappeared.
Geno Smith said there's finger pointers and thumb pointers.
Oh, okay,
I feel like you're a finger pointer.
I'm a middle finger pointer at yes. Mitch Levy because I will get breakfast. But let me ask you this, Mitch, because, I mean, those were two games that I think Seahawks fans thought, okay, we should win those games as we looked at the last eight games of the season that we had. Now we've lost those two games, and now we have, I mean, a Rams team that looks like we should beat them, but you just never know. And then a Carolina team that you just can't count out because we couldn't count out the Raiders. And then, of course, you got the Niners, and you got the Jets, and you got the Chiefs. What do you think? I mean, as you look at this, see what happened, do you think that Diggs is correct that they can actually go fix this, or is this unfixable?
Well, first of all, you said a lot there.
I sure did, buddy.
Let's start with the comment that you're not happy that the Seahawks lost. You're happy that I'm about to lose.
Oh, yeah. That's all that matters now.
Boy, it sure doesn't feel that way that you're happy. It doesn't sound like you're unhappy with the Seahawks.
Well, Mitch, I will say this.
That's the first thing I would say.
Here's the thing. I would love us to lose every other game because I'm a draft pick guy. I don't think we're going to do anything this season in the playoffs. I just don't. There's a lot of great teams in the NFC that are better than us. Why not get a draft pick? Why not just be, 6-10 or 6-11 and be done with it? I would love to see that. But I'm a strategy guy. I would love to see that happen, not because I want to see them lose, because I want to see us have a higher shot at draft picks. But, that's the only reason I'd be happy.
You're dancing on their grave this morning. Keep going, BJ.
Free breakfast for Mitch Levy. You can't beat that. You really can't beat that. Christmas morning, I open that up, and it's like free breakfast for Mitch Levy. That's what it's like.
Hey, we're looking like we're going to get a great draft pick no matter what.
Thank you,
Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos.
There's no question about that.
To address the other questions, though, Mitch, what do you think? We got six games ahead of us. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, let's go back to the original theory, which is these were two games that we thought were in the bag. I think that that's unfair, even though you have the floor. You're gloating this morning. You're doing a great job of it.
And we've learned BJ is a very fair man.
First of all, I think the Buccaneers game in Germany. Did I think the Seahawks would win that game? Yes. Did I think that that was a game that was in the bag? No. They still had Tom Brady. They still were leading their division. They still were the favorites in Vegas in that game, Tampa. As for the Raiders yesterday, look, there's no There's no excuses. The Seahawks did not arrive at the ballpark ready to play yesterday. I think most NFL experts would agree that the Raiders are a lot better than their record indicates. They've lost a lot of close games. They were supposed to be very good at the beginning of the season. They got a very good run game. Their quarterback can have big games. And so I don't know that I would look at the last two opponents and say, oh my God, if they can't beat the Bucs and Raiders, who can they beat? That's kind of your thought.
That is you're right. That's exactly, again, you know, as an armchair quarterback that's my thought.
Yeah. I don't think that's right. I think that the Rams that they're going to face this week, I don't know if Matthew Stafford's coming back, but let's say he doesn't come back and they've got that third string quarterback that they played yesterday. They can't beat anybody. They can't beat anybody with Matthew Stafford, without it, Matthew Stafford. So I wouldn't say.
I hope you're right that we're not the team they can beat.
I wouldn't say the opponents coming up on their schedule are far worse than what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I think the Rams are beatable both there and here at the end of the season. I think the Panthers are beatable. I think the Jets are beatable. I don't share your thoughts on that, but this is your show this morning. They lost. They looked bad doing it. It was an embarrassing performance. They're out of the playoffs if the season ended today, right now, and you'd be a winner. But the season doesn't end today. Let's see what happens this week.
Right.
Well, they do have the good fortune of the fact that the two teams that they're chasing would be the Commanders and the Giants, and those two teams have yet to play each other, which means there could very well be, if there's a sweep on either side, that's going to help. I think the worst maybe that could happen if they split that series, I don't know if that really helps the Seahawks much, unless the Seahawks keep winning. But so that could be something. The Commanders also have a bit of a tough schedule. They got to play Dallas again, and I think they have to play the Niners as well. So that is the one good thing on their side, because it's the rest of the NFC. I don't think anyone's going to challenge them for that spot except for the Commanders and Giants.
Well, it's a race. That's all it is. It's a race. There's eight teams for seven spots, and you're right about the Commanders' schedule. You're right about the Commanders' schedule, but what you haven't looked at, take a look at the Giants' schedule. For as hard as the Commander's schedule is, the Giants...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And schedule is harder.
Even harder.
And the Giants have lost their last two games. They lost to the Lions at home.
Yeah.
And they lost on Thursday on Thanksgiving to Dallas. And as you say, the Commanders and Giants are going to play twice. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. So I think it's completely there for the Seahawks to still. I don't think they're going to 12-5 that Migsy said that they're
6-0, baby.
Breakfast, baby.
1-0 every week. Isn't that what Peep says? Let's go.
I don't think so. But, I think if the Seahawks can right the ship and they win some of these games, they'll still be in the playoffs. You'll still lose the bet. But you'll find a way to say, as you're feeding all of us, that you won somehow, that somehow it was unfair, somehow it was a fluke or an aberration.
Oh, man.
As you're spoon feeding my omelet.
Talk about going all in. He's going all in.
After the worst
performance in the third worst performance in history, he's all in. Look at him.
Yeah, I still believe they'll make the playoffs. I do.
Mitch, how does a team, you go from, the defense looks red rotten at the beginning of the year, they figure it out, and everything seems like they got it all dialed in. I mean, I know the Giants, it looks like they're not as great as, and there was always talks that they weren't as great as their record at the time, but they still had an incredible running back, and we figured out how to stop that dude. And then you get to yesterday's game where it's like they couldn't have stopped the water boy at one point. Like, it was just insane how they were just letting, even when they tackled the running backs for Oakland, Las Vegas, they still helped them get extra yards. It was painful to watch.
It was very painful. I don't have an answer to your question. It should not have happened. Although the running back yesterday is very, very good. He's very, very underrated.
I didn't see any indication of that. You sure about that? I saw no indication of him being that good.
He's really good.
He needs to stop playing with a bad calf.
He should not have done that. But look, with it all, I'll just point out to you guys, with it all, with everything you're talking about, with everything I'm saying, 576 yards, the third worst performance mm-hmm. in Seahawks history. They had the ball at the end of regulation right. with a chance to win. They had the ball in overtime at the 50-yard line after the guy missed the field goal in overtime.
Yes.
The Seahawks had the ball at the 50-yard line. They needed 15 yards. 15 yards, Migsy, and they're in field goal range to win the game on a day they played horrific defense. So they still were in a position to win the game.
Let me throw this out to you, because that kid over there at Fox 13, Adam Levine, brought this up. And he basically said that we haven't seen Geno do a comeback. He hasn't had a final drive comeback that we were so used to that other number three guy do for a long time. Are you concerned that if it does come down to it, that the guy's not capable of driving us down the field with, like, you know, the 2-minute drill or whatever?
No, I think the Geno bashing this morning is unfair. He did not play a good game, his best game yesterday. He threw some balls in harm's way. He got one interception. He fumbled another one on a handoff.
Yeah,
there were a couple
tough.
Of balls that could have been intercepted,
yep.
one that was reviewed and was turned around. It was not a great day for Geno, but just remember one thing. Geno had no protection, and he had no run game. It's as if his offensive line didn't show up yesterday, and he still threw for 320-something yards. He still was virtually unstoppable in the second half. And if that's the worst Geno performance that we're going to see this year, then they're in pretty damn good shape.
Yeah,
that's
he wasn't the problem. I mean, he didn't do what Pete likes to do. He didn't protect the ball. I get that. But still, he made up for those mistakes, like you said, by having a decent game. He was not the problem yesterday.
I go back to their inability to run the ball, their inability to get anything going on the ground. Look, one team ran for 283 yards yesterday.
I don't think that was us, was it?
And the other team rushed for 60 yards yesterday. You're almost never going to win a game when you can't run it and you can't stop
Mitch,
the run.
Do you know how I like my hash browns? Because I really like them a little toastier. I like a little toastier than the average person. So.
I thought the run game was terrible. That run touchdown that Walker scored was insane. Like when
when he was bringing everybody with him.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I was like, how can you do that? You still can't run for the rest of the game. Now you can run.
Well, the first touchdown wasn't bad either.
No, you're right.
The interception, and he scampered around the right end and kind of made a couple of guys miss and got to the corner of the end zone. That was great too. But for the most part, no running game. No running game to speak of. And yet, I go back to that. I'm a little caught up in that overtime drive when they got the ball at the 50 after the missed field goal, and Geno threw for 5 yards, and it was second and five at like the 50-yard line, and they went to a run play. They had not been able to run it all game.
Right.
They went to a run play, and he got stonewalled, and it was third and six or third and seven. I would have liked the Seahawks just to wave the white flag on the running game in that drive and say, mm-hmm. We have not been able to run it. We've been able to throw it if we've been able to protect him. So let's run it. Let's throw it on first down, throw it on second down, throw it on third down. I think they would have scored. I think they would have won the game had they not run the ball on that second down.
So Steve says 6-0 for these games because he needs his 12-5 season.
Someone has to have.
Here's my prediction: 2-4 for the rest of the season. What about you, sir? Are you bold enough to go out there and throw and give us a record for the next six games?
Yeah, I think that they're going to be okay. I don't think that they're great, but I think they're going to be okay. I think that they should beat the Rams both times. That's two.
Yep.
I think that they should beat the Panthers. That's three. I even think they got a shot to beat the Jets. I'm going to say they're going to finish 9-8 or 10-7, and they're going to make the playoffs.
So that's four. That's four and two. So you're going either 4-2 or 3-3. All right. All right.
They're 6-5 now. Yeah, I'd say 3-3 at worst, but a chance at 4-2. And we'll see if they can. We'll see if Diggs is right. If they can correct these things, then there's no reason. Of the three teams that you're talking about, Washington, the Giants, and the Seahawks have the easiest schedule remaining of those three teams. There's no question about that.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The Commanders and Giants both have a much harder remaining schedule. So you've got the Rams twice. Rams can't beat anybody. I know we're all conditioned to think the Rams are a tough team. Go back and look. They haven't been able to beat anybody.
I hope you're right about that. You're right. We should. I mean, that's one. Even Pete kept correcting himself yesterday by saying we should have won that game. And he goes, well, actually, I should be saying like, we could have won that game. I don't want to piss off the Raiders. But I hope you're right. And so there you go. Steve says 6-0. You say 3-3, 4-2. I'm sticking to my guns. 2-4. That's where I think it's going.
Let me read to you the remaining schedule of the Giants. And you tell me who's got a harder schedule, the Seahawks or the Giants. The Giants, by the way, remember, came here and lost, right?
Yes, they did.
So the Seahawks own a two-team tiebreaker with the Giants. If the Commanders stay hot, we'll see. That's a big if. Big, big if. Who's your starting quarterback, BJ?
Isn't it Tannehill? No?
But
you said the Commanders, right?
The Commanders, yeah.
Not Tannehill? Am I?
No, he would be in Tennessee. So let's hear about
the starting quarterback. Oh, wow. Who am I thinking? I don't know who the quarterback is.
Taylor Heineke.
That's it. Yes, Heineke. Yeah. Yep. All right.
The Giants' remaining schedule. Washington. Right. Washington.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
That's a tough game.
Washington again.
I feel like that's the same. I feel they're repeating themselves.
At Minnesota.
That's a tough game.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, they could lose that too.
At Philadelphia.
Oh, that is a brutal schedule. The only thing you hope for if you're the Giants, if you're in it, is maybe Philly might relax. I don't know. You know, sometimes those last games against a team that's as good as Philly, maybe they have a little bit of a letdown. Who knows?
But that divisional rivalry, though.
That's a tough one. You're right. That's a brutal schedule, and we'll see who has the tougher schedule because Washington may be better. I mean, Washington may be a better team than any of us are giving them credit for. But I don't know. We'll see. Because I feel like Washington will sweep. I think Washington could sweep the Giants, which means the Giants are, they're in trouble. But we also could be in trouble, Mitch. It's who knows? Who knows? But I'm saying this, 8-9. And if we get in at 8-9, well, good for us. It'll remind me of the first Pete Carroll season, 7-9. Bring back the glory days, baby. Under 500 playoffs.
More important question. Do you think the Broncos are going to win a game this
season? There we go.
Boy, I think that the draft choice as of this morning is number 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
How exciting is that?
I think
it's
number 3. And look at the Broncos' remaining schedule. I can pull it up for you. The Broncos have a very difficult remaining schedule. Yeah.
I mean, the Rams game maybe they're playing, the only one that can win.
I feel like they're playing a couple of high school teams, and I think they're playing, the number 50 team in college football. So you're right. That's a tough schedule for the Broncos.
And they're fighting on the sidelines yesterday.
Yeah.
They're screaming and yelling at each other. They had a defensive lineman yelling at Russell Wilson yesterday.
What is that about?
And that defensive lineman has 3 career sacks, and he's screaming at Russell Wilson.
That's
not
awesome.
Good in Denver. And the worse it gets, the better it gets for the Seattle Seahawks. So I saw an article this morning. Somebody said it may go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history.
That's
one of the
most
lopsided trades in NFL history.
He's laughing all the way to the bank, too. How awesome is that?
And we're laughing all the way to the draft. Let him laugh all the way to the bank. We'll laugh all the way to the draft.
And I'm laughing all the way to breakfast.
Okay.
Mitch Unfiltered. There you go. Episode 216. It dropped today, and you can get it where you get podcasts, including, of course, on iTunes and MitchUnfiltered.com. And, Mitch, I look forward.
Where's the bell?
Oh, yeah. Where's the bell? What, did you sell it? Oh, there you go.
Okay.
There's not a lot of reasons to ring it this
time. I thought Josh Jacobs grabbed it on the way to Amazon. Never gave it back or something. Jeez.
He had to sell the bell.
Big Z, I don't know how you deal with him, but he's yours for the rest of the morning.
Edibles. Lots of edibles.
Just remember, BJ, you can't have it both ways.
Oh, I will only have it one way.
Both ways.
I'm going to go to Burger King and have breakfast my way. That's what I'm going to do on Mitch Levy, baby.
It reminds me, BJ, of the guy that sits next to me, my season tickets.
Yeah?
The guy who sits next to me. I go back. Remember the years where Dilfer was the quarterback and Hasselbeck was the quarterback?
Oh, that was back in the day.
Yeah, and the guy next to me in my ear for like 5 games was yelling, put Dilfer in. Matt Hasselbeck was struggling, and he's screaming in my ear for 5 games I put up with this. Put Dilfer in! Put Dilfer in! And then they put Dilfer in, and I turned to him. And I put my finger in his face and I said, buddy, I've been listening to you for 5 years, screaming, 5 games, screaming in my ear, put Dilfer in. Now he's in. He's in.
Yes.
Now I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you if he struggles and they go back to Hasselbeck and Hasselbeck ends up being a star, which they did and which he was. I told the guy, no gloating. You can't have it both ways, BJ. You're gloating today after the Seahawks lost.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be Don't be wearing jerseys on Friday. I don't want to see any Seahawks jerseys from you on Fridays. I don't want to hear from you when they beat the Rams this week. I don't want to hear smiling loud. You can't have it both ways.
I'll have it my way, which is, of course, over easy, baby. That's what I'm going to have. All right, MitchUnfiltered.com. That's where you get podcasts. Mitch, thanks for being with us. Hey, look, if we talk to you next Monday and there's a win, well, good for you.
Good for all of you.
I really want draft picks. I mean, we're not going anywhere. Let's be honest. Where are we going
to
go?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.